Jeremiah 29, verse 12 to 13. Then you will call upon me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And I was just reminded this week of what Mark had said last Sunday about the fact that God is lonely. And he is a relational God, and he has created us to have relationship with him. And yes, we need him, but I believe God has said to me that he needs us too. He needs us to do what he sends us to do, for we are his hands and feet and mouthpiece to the people. And even though there's some of you who may feel that you don't have time or you can't spend the hours or even half an hour with the Lord, but just 5 minutes with him of quality time has all the power even of an hour with him. 5 minutes with him.
When I waited on God for this meeting, God showed me a very large anchor, one sufficient to halt an ocean-going liner in its tracks. And I believe he is saying, just as that anchor keeps that ship from being carried by currents and dashed against the rocks, so am I the anchor of your soul. I hold you tight when the storms of life and adverse winds batter you and vie for your soul. It is in me and me alone that you're able to mount the surfboard of life and ride the waves that once overwhelmed you. 'Tis I who keeps the devourer who crouches at your door from ever entering. 'Tis I who brings the sunshine after rain and the calm after a storm. I am calling you to come in whatever state you are, tattered, torn, bereft and fragmented. Cling to me and allow me to unravel and bring order. I am the anchor of your soul, the one who holds fast and never lets you go. Come.
Let's just take a moment as God the Holy speaks, Holy Spirit speaks through those who have the gift of prophecy. God calling us to seek him, that he be our anchor, that he be our sure foundation, and that we would draw close to him and grow in intimacy with him. Maybe you're here today and God is distant and he's not, it doesn't seem ever present and close to you. I just know that the Lord has never left you nor forsaken you. It's something in you that you may be drawn away. And Lord, we realize, all of us, we get busy. Our schedules get full. We get preoccupied with the things of life. But Holy Spirit, will you help every one of us to take time to be with you, to draw nigh unto you, and you will draw nigh unto us. Thank you, Lord, for your love, that you're always calling us to you, never chasing us away, always calling us to come. We're so appreciative of your great love and your mercy and your grace towards us. Thank you, Lord. I just want you to listen to this testimony from Sabrina, just of God's grace.
Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, you speak through me and say what you need to say to whoever you need to say to, Father. This week, I'm not giving the devil glory. I'm giving God all the glory. He was with us, and he uses all these things for good. We were broken into while we were all sleeping in our beds, and our cell phones were taken from right next to our beds. We never woke up at all, and we're very light sleepers. Anyway, the next morning, my husband woke up and went to the kitchen and found our 3 cell phone covers lying there with our SIM cards on them, and he found out we'd been broken into. And I went to see what had happened, and as I walked back to the room, the Holy Spirit spoke to me loud and clear, and he said to me, "Jesus is coming like a thief in the night. You will not know the time or the hour. Are you ready?" And it was a shock for me, because someone had been right by my bed while I was sleeping, and I didn't even know it. So I share this with you as the Lord asked me to share it. And Father, I just want to say, Lord, thank you for protecting us. Thank you, Father, that you have asked me to share this message, and that you want to convict us by your Spirit, Lord, that where we have perhaps been sleeping, where we are spiritually sleeping, where we are busy, as it's been alluded to today, Lord, that we can just say, Father, help us to be ready at the time of your coming. Help us to escape the things that are coming upon this earth. Lord, we want to be wide awake and listening to your Holy Spirit, and to lead us and guide us and where you tell us to go. Father, I just give you all the glory in Jesus' name.
The Scout motto is be prepared. The Lord is warning us that he's coming back. And he wants us to be prepared for his home, for his homecoming, and us to be with him. And a lot of us think we're secure, that our lives are in the right place and we're carrying on with life and things are good. But I want to just say, God is challenging us, all of us. Doesn't matter if you are a new believer, whether you walked with the Lord for many years, there's something in our hearts that have got to be prepared for him coming. And you know, Paul was preaching, Jesus is coming. Corrie ten Boom believed that the Lord would come in her lifetime, and he didn't. But let me tell you, you better live with that in your heart, because the time is close. And you know, we have one opportunity at life on earth. Let's make it count. So contemplate that. It's a serious call. We're going to be preaching into it also. This thing about being serious about God. You know, the world can continue to do its own thing, but we can't continue like the world. God is calling us to him. And I tell you, it's the best place to be, close to him. That's where we can overcome the things of the world, and we can live a victorious life in him. Amen. Father, we just thank you that by your Holy Spirit, you are talking to us. And Lord, we don't want to leave these words. We want to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the churches. And Lord, we want to respond. And if our lives are not in the right place, Holy Spirit, will you bring us to that place that we know that we are secure as Christ our anchor, that we will not drift onto the rocks, that we will not be blown away by the wind, that we would be in a place of being at peace with you. So Lord, will you take every one of us, and even those that are not here today, Lord, we commit ourselves to your grace. Will you lead us deeper and further into all that you have for us now? Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're going to continue our worship with our tithes and our offerings. And on my left is going to be the offerings. Can we just do it with reverence and awe? Because as we come and give our lives. Good morning, everyone. Thanks, Nikki, for messing up my notes. Where am I now? Hallelujah. You need a wife to help you, eh? Let's pray before we get into God's word, because I really believe that the Lord wants to minister to us. Father, we thank you that as we have worshipped you and praised you, we thank you that you give the Spirit with your word. And Lord, as we come under your word today, Lord, I ask that you would use me and you would speak your word to us, that, Lord, that we would be challenged, that our lives would be open bare, and that, Lord, that you would bring us to a place of fullness in Christ. So, Holy Spirit, we commit our time to you. We ask that you would speak dynamically to every one of us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. This whole aspect of that he is risen is such an important thing as you follow the Lord, that you are serving the living God, that he is not dead, and that you can have a deep personal relationship with the living God. As I intimated last week, is that the religions of the world don't have a personal relationship with the living God, and we do. And I want you to just remember that. And as we've heard today, the Lord is calling us to come closer to him. And I find that in wonderful, wonderful, that a God, in a sense, who is everything, is calling us to him. You know, in creation, God created us for him. We are the highest form of creation, human beings. Even though there's over 7 billion of us on planet Earth at this time, we are the highest form of creation. And he created us in his image. That's amazing that we created in the image of God. And not only when we believe upon the Lord Jesus and we are born again, we are a new creation and we are to be formed into the image of Christ, which is even greater and more profound. And God wants to work that in our lives. I'd like you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Just want to say how good it is to have Vincent back. Hey, Vincent, it's good to have you back, hey? And Kathy. Vincent has had some challenges on the medical side, but God is coming through and he's on the well on the road to recovery. Thank you, Lord. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. I want to read this and then just start opening it up. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats that belonging to Simon and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John and the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Last week and this week, God has been challenging us, and the title of the message today is Deeper in Christ. God is not happy with a shallow walk with him. If you want to just live on the surface with him, you're going to be displeasing. If you just want to live so-called Christianity, God is not pleased with that. He wants a deep walk. He wants us to grow into maturity in Christ. And just as this illustration where the Lord had to teach these fishermen who were fishermen and were good fishermen, that when you obey him, go into the deep water, then this is what you will catch. And God has got so much more for us. And I believe God is calling for us to go deeper in him, every one of us. Now, to go deeper is going to cost you. This is going to be a sacrifice that you're going to have to make. It's not just about attending meetings. It's in your personal walk with God. It's opening up your heart and being vulnerable to him, asking him to help you, and he will take you into the depths of this journey of finding the depth of Christ. It's not good enough just to be born again, water baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. That is the beginnings. When you build a building and you build the foundation, if you just have a foundation, that is good and you need a good foundation. But if you don't start to build the superstructure and put the walls in place and put the trusses on and put the roof on and you start to put the finishing touches to this, what do you have? You just have a shell. You don't have a home. And I want to just say to you, God wants us to build a home in Him. And this is going to take some sacrifice in all our lives. And there is only one way that God has for us to do this, is that we've got to follow Him. And I wanted to say to you, one of the easiest things you'll do and one of the most difficult things that you'll do in your life is following Jesus. You know, there's got to come a time in your life where you've got to tell your worldly friends that you're a follower of Jesus, that you are His disciple and you're learning from Him. And that's not an easy decision to make. I remember I had to do that. We've all come out of the world. We've all had a past. We've all got skeletons. But there's a time when God has arrested you and brought you to a place that you can put your faith in Christ and you become a believer. You've got to rise up and you've got to tell your friends, no, I'm following Jesus. And I remember I had to do that. I've got some really good friends and they're still good friends of mine today. But it came to a time where they wanted to continue to get drunk and do the worldly things. And I eventually had to say to them, I've been called to another purpose. I believe that I need to follow Jesus. And not that I'm saying issues about alcohol, but I'm saying the issue, if you want to know Jesus, it will cost you your very life. You know, as much as He says, come, you must want to come. And I want to just say that's a call. If you want to go deeper with God and you want to know and understand who He is, there's a great sacrifice. You see, God is holy and God is righteous. And He's inviting us to share in His holiness and wanting us to share in His righteousness. This is not given to the angels. This is not given to the demons. It's given to you and I who are born-again believers. We are called to come to Him. In James chapter 4, verses 4 to 10, James says to the church, you're adulterous people. Don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God? Or do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit He caused to live in us envies intensely? But He gives us more grace. That is why the Scripture said, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. Now, this was a challenge to the early church. They experienced salvation and saving grace. They believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and they became the first Christians. But you know what? This aspect of getting the world out of us and that we can live in this kingdom that we've been placed in is a process. And here, James says to the early church there that there's got to be something of a submission to God. And I want to just say is that many Christians are actually resisting God. The Scripture says resist the devil and he will flee from you. It doesn't say resist God. It says submit to God. And you know, submission and humility are profound aspects of character before God that are so important. Submit to Him. Don't resist Him. And as you come near to Him, He will start to reveal things in your life Yes, we are no longer sinners. We are saints. But yes, there's a residue of sin in all our lives that needs to be outworked as we go through this process of becoming more like Jesus. The big term is called sanctification, becoming more like Jesus. We need to purify our hearts. We cannot be double-minded. We've got to be single. We've got to be focused. You know, the men are going to go and do some shooting, and you've got to aim at the target. You can't aim at the target there and there because you'll miss both. You've got to have one target and aim, and you've got to focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And here the scripture says, grieve, mourn, and wail. There's something of dealing with ourselves that we've got to outwork this thing of following Jesus. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. I don't believe you need to live like that all the time, but there's got to be a time where you actually move to a place where you realize if you want to be serious with God, you've got to move from the things of the world to the things of the kingdom. And humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. You know, the evidence in all our hearts is pride. You know, you never found Jesus, He found you. He found you. He says in John chapter 15, I chose you, and I chose you to be my friends. And that is an incredible grace and a love of God that He found us. But how do we respond to that? And we can't push God away. I will serve you when I want to. When we understand the sacrifice and the grace and the love of His great sacrifice on a cross and understand what He's given us, we need to deal with ourselves. So I really believe this aspect of where God wants us is dealing with us to go deeper with Him. You know, Jesus dealt with the Pharisees in His time where pride was an issue. And I read from Luke chapter 18, verse 9 to 13 from the NLT. Then Jesus told the story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. Two men went into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. I thank you, God, that I am not like the other people, cheaters, sinners, adulterers. I am certainly not like the tax collector. I fasted twice a week and I give you a tenth of my income. But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, O God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. Which heart does the Lord love? The sinner that recognizes that there's error and is asking God for grace and mercy. The one that says, I'm doing the right thing, is the religious and the legalist. And that God doesn't like. He wants to bring us to a place where we see ourselves in a place of humility before Him. When in the early church, where people were called to come to God, there was this aspect of repentance. And I want to just say from my heart, sometimes in the gospel that we preach, repentance is no longer there. People do not see it as an evidence of the outworking of the living Christ. And what does it mean to repent? Repent is to recognize where you have fallen short and turn from your wicked ways and follow Jesus and His way. So what is it? The old analogy is that you walk in this way, and we said in the army, you do an omkeer. The omkeer, 180 degrees, and you turn the other way. So you turn your back on the way that you were walking, and you start to follow Jesus. Not to say that you got it all together. That's repentance. Repentance is not something that God can do. It's only what you can do. You've got to recognize that there are aspects in all our lives. No one is exempt from this. Everyone has to repent and turn from our wicked ways. Everyone. And when we turn and we make a decision to follow the Lord, then things start to change. Because this is the injunction that was given to the sinners in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 3, verse 19 to 20. Now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord, and he again will send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah. Repent of your sins and turn to God. So important is that God's not chasing us away as we identify our sin. We heard in the prayer meeting, Mary Magdalene was the first person that God revealed himself to in his resurrected state. And he was the one that she was the sinner of sinners. We understand that she was a prostitute and there were demons in her. And God set her free. And there he comes and he reveals himself to her, the first person he reveals to her in his resurrected state. So what did she do? She recognized her sin and she turned. The woman that was caught in adultery, did God condemn her? No. But he said, turn from your sin. Turn from your sin and turn to God. And that's for every one of us. And I say again, I think sometimes our gospel has been weakened that we don't understand what sin is. It's the virus of sin. It's death and destruction. Yes, we are saved. And yes, Jesus died once and for all our sin. And yes, we have come before the Lord and we've confessed him as Lord and Savior. And he has forgiven our sin. But fuck, we've got to remain in righteousness as we are the righteousness of God. And as we remain, we all fall short of the glory of God. And there's an aspect as we want to become more of the likeness of Christ. There are aspects that in our lives that need to change. People have got to see Christ in us. You know, it's like the farmer who's plowed his field. And even Jesus said, the weeds will grow between the wheat. And there's a time when the weeds need to be plucked out. And if you are a gardener and you go through your garden, and yes, if there's young seeds, you don't pull the weeds out at that time. But when the plants have grown, you pull out the weeds. We don't leave the weeds in. And if I reflect, sometimes in our lives, as we become complacent, we become comfortable, we become apathetic, is that we have allowed weeds to grow in our lives that is displeasing to God because he's calling us to a deeper walk with him. And I do believe as much as God teaches us to pray, to be very specific, we cannot pray for a general confession to just deal with our sins. There's something in the power of identifying aspects in your own life that need to be dealt with because there's power because you're addressing the issue. Now, this is not a process of condemnation. This is a process of revelation to take you deeper with the Lord. Remember, we were looking at our lives of becoming sanctified and becoming more like Christ. And I want to go through a whole list of aspects here that could be impacting our walk with God. I'm not going to go into the depths of the general compass that we need to have. We need to have a moral compass and we need to be holding to the Ten Commandments in Exodus 21 to 17. Go and read that. And I'm not going to talk about our sexuality because that's another area that is vital. You've got to overcome the morality of sin and you've got to come over the morality of your sexuality. These are all things that we've got to face. Our sexuality is one of the biggest areas where I believe the church is actually falling because we do not talk about it. And I maybe need to come and stand in this pulpit as much as I'll be so embarrassed. But we need to talk about our sexuality and be overcomers in this area. But I want to go through a list of these aspects that I really believe that need to be sorted out. And we need to see both sides of the coin. We need to see the aspect that is wrong, which is sin, and the aspect of grace, which is God wanting us to grow into as we want to see Christ. So I'm going to hand out a pamphlet afterwards just to enumerate all these things because I really believe this process is not a once. It's a process that we've got to work through and go and sit before our Lord allow the Holy Spirit to reveal these aspects that we need to work out in our lives. You know, the regime that when you live and we eat all wrong is that we need to at times go through a detox. And when we detox, we get all the impurities out of our lives that our body can start to function properly. It's the same with our spiritual walk. There's an aspect of a detox that needs to take place where we look at these aspects that are coming into our lives and they are breaking what God has actually given us. And we've got to get us to a place also to infuse the Word of God into our lives. And I don't know if you've done Freedom in Christ, but there was something of that detox and the infusion of the Word of God that we did. And they taught us that if you do it over a 40-day period, it actually breaks the authority of sin in your life. And all of us have to deal with some of those things. And I've done that, and I'm telling you now it works. The Word of God is powerful and breaks the authority of sin in our lives. So firstly, the aspect of ingratitude. God has blessed us and favored us before and after our salvation, but have we forgotten to thank Him? You know, in our society today, the please and the thank you is not there. And you know, that's coming through into our relationship with God. We're not even grateful for our salvation anymore. It's a given, belongs to us. And yes, it does belong to us. But there's something of saying thank you. And we need to grow in that as Christians. Gratitude is part of who we are in Christ. We need to grow in thankfulness to God, even when things aren't going well. The scripture says, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And yes, that's a teaching by itself, but we need to grow in gratitude. The second point is losing love for God. You know how devastated we get when our loved ones don't appreciate us and they don't tell us that we love them. And that happens in all relationships. It happens in marriages. The old story is that the old couple said, the husband said to his wife when they got married, I love you. And then 60 years later, he had never told her again that he loves her. That's not right. We've got to do it continually. We've got to be loving our spouses, our children, and we need to be telling them. When last did you tell your spouse and your children that you love them? And when last did your children actually tell you that they love you? That's important. And when last did you actually tell God that you love Him? Because He loves you. And we know it from the scripture, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We need to walk in that love relationship. The third point is neglect of Bible reading. We get so full, our schedules get so full that we push aside our reading of the scriptures, that we get so preoccupied with the things of life that we don't take a delight in God's word anymore. And also that when we read the word, we become very casual with the word of God. You know, in the book of Ezra, when they had lost the scriptures and they started to read the scriptures, yes, it was in Hebrew and they only had the Old Testament, the congregation stood as they honored the word of God. There's something of a holiness that this is life, but this is not common. It's not something that we must just abuse. This is the living word of God to us. And we are so privileged to have that. And we cannot just in a casual manner allow God's word just to come into our hearts. It's something when we honor His word, something happens in our lives. This is God's word to us. You're looking for the voice of God? He's given it to us in scripture. Read it with reverence and awe. Don't make it common. There's something you'll start to find the Spirit of God begin to reveal life to you. As you take hold of the Scripture, it'll become life to you. It'll become revelation. The next one is that we walk with unbelief. It was one of the aspects where the disciples were rebuked the most. Their lack of faith, their unbelief. And how much unbelief do we walk with? Now, God won't answer that. He doesn't answer our prayers. When the Scripture says He hears every one of our prayers and He answers them. It might not be the answer you want, but He answers them. This is your Father. He's attentive to your prayers. The next point is the neglect of prayer, where we get into a place where we get into daydreaming or wishing or fantasizing, and we don't get into real prayer or fervent, focused prayer and concentrating when we pray. Are we like the Pharisees who babble long prayers and we don't speak from our hearts? We don't think before we speak. We're all guilty of that. We think we're righteous because we can say long prayers. No, no. It's the child who comes and asks from the heart, has the faith to believe God. And again, I want to just say is that, are you praying? Are you praying? It's not just good for us to pray on a Wednesday night together, but in your personal walk, are you talking to God? Are you bringing things specifically before Him? There are all issues, many issues you're all facing in life. But if you will come to God with those specifics, God loves it when we come and talk to Him and we come and we put our requests before Him. He is not one that wants to neglect that. He doesn't want us to neglect our prayer life. The next one is the lack of concern for the souls of others. Do you land up in a place where you find and you know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but you actually neglect those around you that are in darkness? You don't pray for them. You don't believe it's right to actually share the gospel with them. You're embarrassed of the gospel. And I want to just say to you, we have a responsibility to share the gospel with those that God puts across our path. Everyone, and I don't know, God's given you oversight and given you influence over many lives, every one of you, whether it's your family, whether it's your co-workers, whether it's people that work for you, have you presented the gospel to them? They're not just another soul. Everyone who doesn't know Christ is destined for hell. If they do not know the saving grace of our Lord, have we got to a place where our hearts are so calloused? We have no concern and love for others. The next point, the neglect of family, that we put ourselves first before the needs of our families. Have we put in place the outworking of the spiritual outworking of our families to ensure their salvation? We're all guilty, but have we worked out of bringing our children, bringing our families and heads of the home? Are you truly leading your homes to Christ? Are you? I encourage you to do that. The next point is love of the world and material things, where those things become more important than God. That you look at your balance sheet and you look in it and say, wow, look how wealthy I am. Look at the possessions that I have. But let me tell you, it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. And that transaction has to take place. When you bring everything to the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ and you lay it down, the rich young man, he couldn't come into the kingdom because he wasn't prepared to lay down his wealth. And he missed out to the inheritance of what God had for him. He had the inheritance of becoming a disciple of the Lord and maybe even an apostle because of this thing. And I want to encourage you, don't let your assets and your liabilities get in the way of your relationship with God. Give them all to God. rather be a pauper in the kingdom of God than be wealthy in the world. I'm not saying be a pauper, but don't let these things hold on to you. The next point, pride. Pride gets in the way of all of us. Maybe your appearance is more important than preparing your heart. Can I say for coming to the meeting on a Sunday, how you look and how you dress? I'm saying dress well, but don't let that your vanity get in the way of your heart before God. You know, Craig said the other day when we were coming, he was coming to church to worship, and he said, "Lord, now we're ready. We got the car keys. We got the Bible. We're going now." And the Lord said to him, "What about me? Have you brought me with you?" And that's the reality, is we can be walking life without him. Let's ensure that we don't get into that place. Envy, the next one. Jealousy of those who seem more fruitful and gifted or more recognizable than you are. Do you struggle when others are praised and you're not praised? That can get in the way. And many relationships are broken because of envy and jealousy. It's a sin. It gets in the way. The next point is a critical spirit. God has given you a spirit of discernment, but you use it to find fault in others because people don't measure up to your standards. Dangerous, very dangerous. A critical spirit, very dangerous. And I'll tell you, it's rife in the church. When things don't go your way, instead of learning to submit and giving it to God, you choose to be critical. Then to slander, telling the truth with the intention of causing people to think less of a person, we're all guilty. Rumor mongering, bringing people down behind their backs, we're all guilty. We shouldn't be in that place. The lack of seriousness towards God. Showing disrespect for God by sleeping in prayer time. Disrespect for God for arriving late as though it doesn't matter. Giving God your leftovers of your emotions and your time and your thoughts and money. Your time for prayers when you put your head on the pillow at night. Thank you, Lord, for the day, and that's the only time that you've spoken to him. We're all guilty. The next one is lying. When we design deception, where we choose to exaggerate the truth. This thing of exaggerating the truth, of telling white lies, does not please God. We tell the truth or we keep quiet. We've got to hear what the Spirit of God. Treating others in a way I wouldn't want to be treated myself. Having stopped short of treating others the way I would want to be treated. Hypocrisy, pretending to be someone that I'm not, and are you pretending to be someone that you're not? There's nothing like being true to yourself, and especially before God. Don't try to be someone that you're not. You know, we all have different looks. We've all got different gifting. We've all got different talents. Don't try to be something else other than who you are. Robbing God, wasting your time on things that have no eternal value. Exercising your gifts and your talents for a fee and not doing what God has called you to do, that you're charging a price of your gifts. And it's happening in the church. In West Africa, people are going to church to get a prophecy and are paying for it. It's an abomination to God. Your temper, losing patience with a child, co-worker, friend, spouse, or staff member. Have you spoken cross words lately? A bad temper, losing control of your emotions and thoughts and words that you abuse someone else verbally. Have you lost your temper? We all are. Hindering others, taking someone else's time needlessly, destroying someone's confidence because I hold them to unreasonably high standards. Do you know that is a controlling spirit? And sometimes we exercise control over others. We don't love them. We control them. And we think we control them, then we're in charge, and we think then we're honoring them. No, we're not. Sometimes we've got to learn this role of grace. Arrogance, accepting God's forgiveness while refusing to forgive myself or someone else. Ooh, that happens a lot. broken relationships because of lacking to forgive. And then for me, a big one is carnality. Walking according to the flesh and not according to the new recreated spirit and the spirit of Christ who is within you. I think it's one of the greatest challenges we all have, to walk not according to the flesh, but to walk according to the spirit. We need to challenge that thing on a daily basis. So I say to you today, as God has taken us deeper in Christ, I ask you to review these things. This is not a process of condemnation, but a rather a process for us to change. God wants a deeper walk with us, that we can walk in the fullness of Christ. You know, I want to get home one day, and I want all of you to get home one day, for God to say, well done, good and faithful servant. But that's living in Christ, and that you will know that you're living in Christ and that he's living his life through you. That you've been crucified with Christ and that you no longer live, and the life that you live in the body, you live by faith in the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. Now, this is a great challenge. So I don't want to walk away condemned today, but I want you to walk away challenged. And I want you to go and do business with your God, because there's a call to holiness. There's a call to righteousness. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, there are few of those. Few. And we are here today, and God is calling us to that. God does not tolerate unrighteousness and unholiness. And you want to see your God? Maybe some of these things need to be outworked in your life. Amen. Can I pray with you? Lord, we just thank you that this morning has been a bit of a serious message. But thank you, Lord, that you are taking us deeper in you. And Lord, we're all guilty. We all miss the mark. And Lord, you know our hearts, that we want to turn to you and we want to change. And Holy Spirit, as we commit ourselves to you, will you reveal the ways of Christ to us, that we can walk in your holiness and can walk in your righteousness. I pray that we will not become legalistic or become religious, but truly that the life of Christ will be found in abundance in and through us. May our testimony of Jesus grow stronger and greater because of the work that you do in our hearts. And Lord, as you're preparing us as a bride without spot and wrinkle, this is your outworking, Lord, as you're preparing to come and fetch us. May we be ready, Lord. May there be oil in our lamps. May we be in a place where our eyes are focused upon you and that our lives are all about you. Please forgive us, Lord, where we have wandered. Please forgive us where we've become complacent and comfortable, and we haven't seen the seriousness of our walk in Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you have opened our hearts and our minds to something of the depth of your spirit and who you are. It's not common to walk in your presence, Lord. It's holy and righteous. And may every one of us, Father, may every one of us be in a place where we can walk in your holiness and your righteousness. May we go deeper, Father. May we go deeper as you are calling us to a deeper walk with you. And may we know this abundance and this fullness. And Lord, as we leave this place today, I pray this will not just be a message that goes in one ear and out the other, but Lord, that it would find meditation in our lives, and that will demand application and outworking and a submission to you. Because Lord, it's all about you. We know you love us, but we know that you're a holy and righteous God. So Lord, as we love you and praise you now, have your way amongst us as we follow you now. In the name of Jesus, amen. God bless you all. There is coffee available at the top, and if you need to go enjoy your family on this Resurrection Sunday,